broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Only the good die.
The city of Los Angeles already ordering 10,000 jetpacks.
It's part of the reality of a university.
It was a nightmare and a half.
Stop crying, you sniveling ass. Stop your nonsense.
This will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
Yeah. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places no talk show would dare go. Because we can. 877-876-PHIL, our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for all your radio comedy needs. And with a backstage pass, you can watch our live streaming video of the show right now, listen to live streaming audio of the show, and grab a hold of those podcasts. They are fast and furious. We have podcasts of every single show available over at iTunes, and you can sign up for those podcasts on our website. We also have our Classic Phil podcasts that are free, and we have our mini daily podcasts. We have an Uncensored Rant podcast. We have downloadable archive material. It's all there. If you're going to spend money for a subscription site, don't do it unless it's ours. And I'm telling you that. Or porn, you know.
Yeah, I'd say porn.
Spend the money on either a porn site or ours. Spend it on both, the porn site or ours. Ours is a lot cheaper than a porn site. And to be honest with you, probably ours is a lot, you know, if you're going to spend the money, you know, don't spend it on porn. Go out and find the real thing and just subscribe to our website.
Yeah, it's probably better, man.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our news hour here. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with us.
How's your tummy feeling? You're all, my tummy hurts. How's it feeling?
Yeah. Was I being a baby about it?
No, but I mean, what point you going to quit complaining about it?
What are you talking about complaining about it?
Well, you all laying down last night on, oh, my stomach. And then you go out and get black and prime rib, man.
That was weird.
My stomach was feeling loud. I don't know what happened, but my stomach I'm pretty sure it was food poisoning. I've had food poisoning before. I've had the flu. I know the difference.
Yeah, but you didn't throw up or nothing.
Do you have no diarrhea or anything about it?
Well, no, but I don't know that I want to broadcast that, okay?
Because that's a pretty sure sign.
Yeah, if you have if you live in a river of brown.
Will you guys shut up? No, none of that. But the fact is, whatever it was I had on Sunday night, it has carried through to I feel a lot better today. And yes, I did have blackened prime rib for dinner, okay?
What is that about? That sounds like almost like you were trying to get food poisoning again or something.
Where did you have it at?
I don't want to say where I had it at, but I will say it's, you know, a good restaurant. And it was very good. And no, I ain't trying. What are you talking? I know the restaurant. It's a good restaurant. The place where I got the food poisoning, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know that. I wonder if you got food poisoning last year.
I got that from. Well, just never mind. Why are you bringing this stuff up, man?
Because you're all like, oh.
You did last night, man.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did. Last night, you get off the air and you go, oh, help.
Bud, you're a liar, okay?
No. Ask Robert.
Well, it wasn't doing that bad.
My stomach was bothering me. Yeah, I'm not going, oh!
Sounded like it to me.
Well, it wasn't, okay? I don't know. I got a very delicate stomach. What do you want from me, man, okay?
But y'all should be shoveling all that stuff in it, man. You should start eating more healthy and everything like that.
What's unhealthy? Let me tell you something, my friend. You know I'm on a mission from God. I'm going to lose some weight, right?
Yeah.
All right. If you are on a pure protein diet, which is basically what I'm doing, and I'm having a little bit of carbos here and there, you know, it's that one that Rance sent me, although I am cheating Rance, I'm, you know, having a little bit of sugar, because forget it, man, it just, you know, there's no way, I gotta have sugar, that's just all there is to it. But I'm, you know, I'm gonna drop a lot of weight, man, and the fact is, that's pure protein, okay?
Yeah, prime rib got all kind of fat on it, though. Are you sucking on the fat?
Am I what?
Do you or do you not cut off the pieces of fat and suck on them?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man?
Didn't you say you used to do that?
No, I didn't say I used to do that.
Well, who the guy that used to suck on the fat?
I don't know who it is. It might have been that Roland Schwinn guy.
That's the guy, yeah.
That ain't me.
Yeah, he would delicately cut off the pieces of fat and then walk around sucking on them all day like they was a cough drop.
Oh, bull crap.
He did.
That's what he claimed, anyway.
You know what, man? You're high on life.
Yeah, I am. I love life.
Yeah, and you're high on something else, too. Oh, God.
What?
Cut off the pieces of fat and walked around sucking them on them all day like they were cough drops.
Now, that guy, he's a fat ass.
Fox and Friends falls for ruse alleging purchase of $1 billion of jetpacks for LAPD Fire Department. This is just another example, ladies and gentlemen, of traditional news gathering agencies in the rush to compete with the fast and furious and unchecked and wild west of the internet. They are now allowing themselves to be corrupted by the same lack of verification that blogs and news sites on the internet allow themselves to be corrupted by. But for some reason, I like it when it's done by these Wild West shows on the internet. When it's a longstanding, credible news organization, you look like a jackass when you guys do it. You have to adhere to the same standards you've always adhered to. Quit trying to be Gawker, okay? Because when you guys try to be the network television's answer to the Drudge Report, you wind up looking like a jackass. And that's what happened to Fox and Friends. And we've seen this before, folks. You've seen this before. How many times have you heard Captain Jenks from Howard Show call in and bust Peter Jennings or somebody like that back in the day, right? Or we even did it when we were on KFI years and years and years and years ago. And there was a freeway chase going on. And so we had this fake guy on the air talking about how he was in the car. We got a call from Channel 9. They wanted to put our feet on the air. They wanted to put my show on their air as we were doing a fake.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. And it didn't happen because one of the people in the newsroom, they didn't want to do that. The news guys said, no, we can't. We got to have good relations with these guys. I'm asking him, I said, why do you have to have good relations with someone you're competing against? But anyway. However, here it is 2010, and these jackballs are still falling for it. It's a story that, by all accounts, should not have flown. Anchors at the Fox News National Morning News Show, Fox and Friends, reported on Tuesday that the city of Los Angeles had ordered 10,000 jetpacks for its police and fire departments, the price tag a whopping $100,000 per unit. Here is the audio from yesterday morning. Fox and Friends reporting on the phony baloney story.
The city of Los Angeles already ordering 10,000 jetpacks for its police, paramedics, and fire departments.
Are you kidding?
Can we afford that? The jetpack can fly up to 63 miles per hour and get as high as 8,000 feet in the air. It's looking better, Brian.
You don't want to run out of gas.
Yeah, but get this, the cost. $100,000. States, I mean, I'm all for, buying stuff up and helping capitalism and all that, but states, do they have $100,000?
Well, they already ordered 10,000 of them.
Well, yeah, I think Montana could order it. They're in a surplus, but I don't think California should. But here's my thing. You got to make up some rules because you could have jetpacks flying into choppers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you could, man. Jackass.
That's unbelievable, man.
Man, I wish they, how'd they find out about it?
Well, hold on. For those doing the math at home, the cash-strapped city of Los Angeles, which is regularly sending its police detectives home because it can't pay all their overtime, allegedly shelled out $1 billion. $1 billion. That's how much 10,000 jetpacks at $100,000 per unit. Why didn't these cats check this?
Man, they have somebody like a producer checking into that.
They didn't, and they got all the resources in the world to do it. So anyway, it cost LA $1 billion on space-age transportation that has never been used in an emergency situation, much less tested. We certainly haven't bought any jetpacks, said LAPD Chief Charlie Beck. We haven't bought squad cars for 2 years. At Gawker.com was the first to note, the Fox and Friends report appeared to contain material taken right out of a story from the Weekly World News tabloid, which itself bills itself as the world's only reliable news source. Now, if you know anything about the World Weekly News, folks, the World Weekly News is the checkout stand newspaper that had the picture of Bat Boy. Every time you saw Bat Boy, you knew it was the World Weekly News. Remember Bat Boy, the little kid, the cave boy? And the World Weekly News is always Abraham Lincoln, was contacted by UFOs. And the reason why people always would buy into the World Weekly News is because it was right there in the newsstand next to the Inquirer and these other newspapers, which had a little bit of credibility in the, I don't want to say, you know, trailer park.
Yeah, that demographic.
Yeah, the trailer park demographic. Now, and never, ever did the World Weekly News ever call itself a comedy sheet, or did the Inquirer, for that matter, any of them. But the World Weekly News is exactly that. It is a comedy sheet. It's a comedy publication that was able to pass as a supermarket tabloid and continues to the point where today a story like this flies on Fox. If it had been in any, if it had been anywhere else, I bet you Fox would have found it, would have you know, thrown the 15-yard penalty on it. Anyway, apparently taken from apparently taking that slogan and the ruse to heart, which is the world's only reliable news source, Fox and Friends reported that jetpacks can reach speed of 63 miles an hour. Co-host Gretchen Carlson, who, it's amazing that she was fooled, wasn't it? It's just,
what?
I'm kidding. Said that while she was all for buying stuff up and helping the capitalism and all that, she wondered whether the costs would be prohibitive in a bad economy. Not doing her math. Anyway, Brian Kilmeade wondered about possible safety issues. You got to make up some rules because you're going to have jetpacks flying into choppers. A short time later, the host did an about-face, reporting the LAPD was not buying the Jetson-style transporters. The media buzz around the jetpacks harkens back to the 1970s when then-Chief Ed Davis caused a stir by declaring that he wanted the city council to invest in submarines to track drug smugglers. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, the music from the TV show Glee has soared past the Beatles. We'll find out exactly in what context. Rick Sanchez has said that he is sorry, and other news stories. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I have a puck.
Yeah, that guy on Real World.
Yeah.
They had a guy on Real World. I'll check it with Rance. They had a guy on Real World named Puck, didn't they? Anyway, welcome back to our show. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm sure they did.
Yeah, but that guy Puck used to pick his nose and stuff.
Yeah, and they like wipe it on people.
What do you mean, wipe it on people?
He did weird stuff.
Yeah.
Well, let me wait a minute. Rance is here. Pick his nose. Puck was also on Real World. Is the same guy? Is the same cat? Or is it a character? No, it's played by Mark Salling. Different guy. Anyway, so here it is. The cast of Glee have put more songs onto Billboard's Hot 100 than the Beatles. With six more Glee tracks debuting on the music tracking chart tomorrow, the Fox hit has managed to surpass the Fab Four in terms of the number of their titles that have landed on the chart. The Glee cast has put 75 songs into the Hot 100 since the series debuted last year. The cast's cover of Britney Spears' Toxic will arrive Thursday as the Hot 100's highest debut, number 16, having sold 109,000 downloads in its first week. The Beatles have 71 titles on the chart between 1964 and 1996. Okay, so this is 75. All right. Of course, the Glee cast didn't write any of their own songs, and a cover of the Beatles' Hello Goodbye is among the Glee list. Another Glee take on a Beatles classic, I Want to Hold Your Hand, was on Tuesday's show and will likely land in the Hot 100. The Glee cast is not yet the all-time Hot 100 record holder. Elvis Presley, I'm kidding around.
What are you talking about?
I'm kidding. Elvis Presley, 108, and James Brown, 91, are still ahead. Did I ever tell you, I didn't meet James Brown.
Did you interview?
I almost interviewed James Brown, yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, I've told the story, but I was, let me put it to you this way. I was in a press tent, and I was there to be a part of a press conference with James Brown.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where was it?
It was in Washington. It was back in 1987, and it was a Vietnam veteran welcome home concert. because in the mid-80s, there was a sense in the country that the Vietnam vets had not been treated well when they came home in the 70s, and so there was an official welcome home. And it was very nice. A series of concerts were done around the country. There were a lot of celebrities. I went to the one of the Hollywood Bowl, and then I was in Landover. And anyway, make a long story short, here comes James Brown. Now, he gets up on the riser, and understand, this is a group of press guys that were talking to all kinds of cats. They were answering questions, this, that. But man, when James Brown walked in, these guys just all, boom, shut up. And in comes James Brown and his wife, that beautiful brunette that he was married to. She's patting the sweat off his face. She's got his gold cape or whatever the hell it was. Purple.
Yeah, it's generally a purple cape is my understanding of it.
Well, have you ever seen it?
I haven't.
Man, I saw that one time they did that song, Please, Please, and put the cape on him and they throw it off.
Yeah, that was all part of his act. Anyway, because I got to get to the story. Anyway, make a long story short, he walks up to the microphone. Everyone is dead silent. He's looking at the crowd, and the crowd's looking at him, and he's looking at the crowd. He finally says, any question? Like that. And it was very funny because suddenly everyone realized how tense and stupid looking they were, and it relaxed the crowd. But
that ain't much of a story, man.
Yeah, I thought there'd be.
Well, it was for me, okay? Anyway, the cast of Glee, here's the one thing about having anything on the Hot 100, okay, if you'll pardon the expression. And that is that Billboard magazine has, over the years, charted the top 100 individual songs differently in terms of why is that number one? It used to be single sales. That was the 45 RPM that you've probably seen in museums and in archaeological sites. The 45 RPM. How many are sold? Okay, beautiful, fine. And that was pretty much the Hot 100 system throughout the 60s. Because they still sold 45s. 45s started to drop off in the 70s. And somebody said by the late 1960s, early 1970s, the number one purchaser of 45 RPM records were adolescent black females. So those were the people that were the most buying 45s. And, of course, an adolescent black female is not buying Led Zeppelin, and Led Zeppelin really wasn't coming out with any 45s. By that point, album, album, album. So they had to find another way of tracking individual songs. And Mike Harrison, who's a guy who's in the talk radio business now, Mike Harrison came up with a thing called Top Tracks. All right, what are the tracks that are getting most play? And they would combine airplay with album sales, and they came up with an idea that way. And so it's tracked differently. And while I congratulate the cast of Glee, I hardly think that this is an equal achievement, only insofar as it's real weird, man. Anyway.
Well, that's not what you mean. That's just his bitching.
What is?
That they sell what they did because of the Beatles.
Yeah, but you can't say that's as good as the Beatles.
Why not? They sold as many.
They're not as good as the Beatles. They're selling records, but some of the records they're selling are Beatle records.
Yeah, but today people like them more.
Oh, I say, okay, bud. People.
You're out of your mind, man.
No, hold on, Robert. So people like Glee more than the Beatles.
Yeah, I think the people of today does. I'm not saying about any other time.
The people of today does.
Jeez. You're an idiot, man.
I'm not an idiot. I'm making more sense than what you said.
Glee's Puck, never mind. Glee's Puck, played by Mark Salling, covers Only the Good Die Young by Billy Joel, which is a crappy song, so, you know.
Only the good die young.
Oh, man.
You got a nice white dress and a party on your confirmation.
Right on, boys. Definitely going to wonder who the Canadians are from here on out.
This will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
Are you kidding me with that?
That's bitching.
That sucked. That's worse than Billy Joel. Wow. Anyway,
It's fine. It's fine. It's great. So, and I ain't no Billy Joel fan. And
yeah, you were just saying you saw the guy in concert.
Yeah. I said I saw him with Elton John. Aren't you guys listening? I seen that Elton John, Billy Joel concert down there at Pro Player Stadium, whatever the hell they're calling it these days, in Miami.
Yeah.
That's when I saw him. I went and saw him. I went because it was Elton John. That's why I went.
Yeah, well, Elton John, well, I better not say it.
Oh, he's gay? Is that it, man?
Well.
He's better musician than Billy Joel in my book, so. Anyway, I got nothing against Billy Joel, okay? Just not a big fan of his music. What the hell do you want me to say? All right, 877-876-PHIL. A woman accidentally glues her eyelid shut and human waste powers homes in Britain. Thank you and good night. No, we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Right on, boys.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show and our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Go get a backstage pass, which allows you to watch as well as listen to our show. Now, that may not sound like much because we have a radio show, and I'm sure you've seen Rush do his show, and I'm sure you've seen Glenn do his show, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of people do a lot of shows. But our show, our radio show, is the only one of any of them that is actually worth watching. And so I suggest that you get your BSP and take a look every night here, 9 o'clock Pacific is when our pre-show starts. So we're on the air with our video feed at 9, and it is uncensored. And those rants sometimes go up on the website as downloads. 877-876-PHIL. Former CNN anchor Rick Sanchez apologized to Daily Show host Jon Stewart. Now, this, of course, was reported the other day when Suzanne Sanchez, Rick's wife, said that her husband had talked to Jon Stewart. At that time, Suzanne Sanchez, who is, my understanding, a gracious lady, a good mother, good wife, said that her husband had a good talk with Jon Stewart. She said Jon was gracious. She said that he did call Rick thin-skinned. She said that he's right. Rick feels horrible that in an effort to make a broader point about the media, his exhaustion from working 14-hour days for 2 months straight caused him to mangle his thought process inartfully. I don't like that 14. I'm just telling you right now, I don't like the 14 hours a day, 2 months straight. Excuse me, bullcrap. I'm not saying that the lady's lying. I'm saying they didn't need to say that because, frankly, I don't believe it. And he might have been gone from the house for 14 hours. He ain't working 14-hour days. Now, why am I bringing all of this out? Because today came an official statement from Rick. And in the official statement, sculpted by a public relations outfit, and there's nothing wrong with that. You need PR people in this business to help you position yourself. You are a public personality, so PR is what is a part of the game. But in a statement released today, much of what Suzanne Sanchez said was in that statement. Much of what she said was in the statement. So, either she was testing the statement with the public, or they decided to incorporate into the statement the things that Suzanne Sanchez said. One of the things they did not incorporate into the statement was the 14 hours a day for 2 months straight bullcrap. Now, I don't mean to be beating up on Rick, but the story is that, you know, he apologized to Jon Stewart and anyone else that he might have offended with his inartful comments about a radio show during a radio show last week. I am, and here is Rick's words, "I am very much opposed to hate and intolerance in any form. I've frequently spoken out against prejudice. Despite what my tired and mangled words may have implied," those are the same words sort of mangled his thought process at Suzanne Sanchez, "they were never intended to suggest any sort of narrow-mindedness and should never have been made."
Well, what are you doing, man? It's not like you're looking at some kind of, you know, Watergate Kennedy assassination or something.
What?
Well, I mean, all he's saying is you're making it out like some kind of big conspiracy or something.
I was just comparing the two statements.
Yeah, but it's not like Kennedy got blown away.
I know it ain't like Kennedy got blown away. I'm talking about the fact that I'm just looking at the story here, okay?
Yeah, don't make it sound like, you know, like in a 9/11 truth or something.
Who's making it sound like 9/11 truth?
Well, you're all like, ooh, look at this statement, ooh. everything like that there.
I ain't going ooh, ooh. Just taking a look at her statement and his statement.
Yeah, so? So what? So what if she did say it? What the difference would it have made on account of it?
You know, you do a lot of making fun of me, bud. I could really lay into you with the way you talk, man.
You got a point.
What?
You ought to blow your nose, man. Let's start with that. Let's just start with you blowing your nose, okay?
All right. I'll blow my nose. Here.
Don't take my news story and blow your nose with that.
I don't have a handkerchief.
Go find one.
He's going to blow his nose with Rick Sanchez's story, though. That wasn't bad.
Is that right? Should I just move past the Rick Sanchez story?
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, let Bud blow his nose on it? Is that what I should do? Well, I ain't going to do that, Robert. I'm going to finish the story, okay? If you don't mind.
All right.
Anyway, he's upset that someone of my... you know what Sanchez said. So anyway, he apologized. Blah, 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 blah. Here's the full statement. We're not going to read it, but his full statement is a very, very gracious one. He doesn't use the 14-hour day. That's a good move. He said he's tired, and he did say he was tired, and his tired and mangled words may have implied they were never intended to suggest any sort of narrow-mindedness. In the aftermath of these comments, CNN and I have decided to part ways. Now, I saw a really interesting thing. Tom Jicca in the Sun Sentinel today, and that's the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel in South Florida. Tom, and the reason why Tom's writing about it from a knowledgeable perspective is because Rick was on the air in Miami. And Tom was very kind, but he did say the following. He said, well, you guys didn't part ways. You were fired, Rick. He says, however, I want to go on record to say that I have nothing but the highest regard for CNN. I have tremendous respect. There are no hard feelings. Excitement about my new future opportunities. And in the meantime, I look forward to promoting my book. So there you go. And that's the end of that, man. There ain't nothing else left, brother. Other than we do, you know, hope that Rick lands on his feet, man.
You going to have him back on for an interview?
Probably not. Now then.
Why not?
Because I'm not doing those anymore. All right, here is Rick Sanchez as he recounts an incident at CNN where he says he experienced racism.
But deep down, when they look at a guy like me, they see a guy automatically who belongs in the second tier and not the top tier.
Because you're Cuban? American?
I had a guy who works here at CNN,
right,
who's a top brass, come to me one day and say, you know what? I don't want you anchoring anymore. I really don't see you as an anchor. I see you more as a reporter. I see you more as a John Quiñones. You know, the guy on ABC? That's what he told me. He told me he saw me as John Quiñones. Now, did he not realize that he was telling me, when I see you, I think of Hispanic reporters? Because in his mind, I can't be an anchor. An anchor's what you give the high-profile white guys, you know? So he knocks me down to that and compares me to that. And it happens all the time.
That happened. He said that right after Kanye West
George
said,
Bush doesn't care about Cuba.
All right, now, the next cut here, Sanchez takes on a Comedy Central host who is Jon Stewart.
I think Jon Stewart's a bigot.
Jon Stewart's a bigot. Hold on. Now we're going to get into it. Jon Stewart, my old boss, my friend.
Yeah, I think he's a bigot.
How is he a bigot?
I think he looks at the world through... his mom, who was a school teacher, and his dad, who was a physicist or something like that. Great. I'm so happy that he grew up in a suburban, middle-class New Jersey home with everything that you could ever imagine.
What group is he bigoted towards?
Everybody else who's not like him. Look at his show. I mean, what does he surround himself with?
But listen, he picks on Jews all the time. He's a Jew.
Yeah.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
I just think it's important that people who are not minorities understand that those of us who are, and very few of us will say the things that I've just said, are actually more complex than they think
Stewart's,
we are, and we get
Stewart's
them.
A minority,
what's that?
As much as you are.
He's come on. How
he's
is he
Jewish.
A minority? Yeah.
Yeah, Jews.
People.
Whoa.
Wow.
You're such a minority. I mean, you know, please. What are you kidding? I'm telling you that everybody who runs CNN is a lot like Stewart. And a lot of people who run all the other networks are a lot like Stewart. And to imply that somehow they, the people in this country who are Jewish, are an oppressed minority? Yeah.
Boy, what a headache.
Well, that's why you don't have a gig now, Rich. Or Rick. Richard. Dick.
Probably Dick.
Yeah. You are done, baby, and I don't say that with any glee because I've been in your shoes. I haven't created a national furor. I've just been out of a gig. It sucks. Sounds like you got a good lady in your life. You got great kids. Dude, You know, one of the knocks on Rick Sanchez, and let me just put this all into perspective and then we'll move on. One of the knocks on Rick Sanchez.
She's definitely a tramp.
Will you shut up with that, bud?
I thought you were talking about Rick Sanchez.
I'll do the drops, not you. One of the knocks on Rick is that he wasn't too bright. And what do we mean by wasn't too bright? What we mean is the following. We mean that he does not have a sophisticated view of the news that he reads and comments on. He doesn't have a deep, or if you will, a deep and a wide view of the news. He doesn't understand context, and you have to understand history. To intelligently comment on news, you have to know what came before, as well as what you think will come after. You cannot do it from a People magazine perspective. You can't do it from USA Today perspective. And you can't fake having a show by simply having 9 million Twitter comments. That was the knock on him, and he proved it. He not only proved it, he also proved something else, that off the air and away from the studio, he has he's got a problem, man, with Jews. I don't care what he says. He thinks Jews are where they are because it's a good old boy club and only Jews help Jews. And I can tell you, man, I've worked in entertainment. While I've worked with a lot of Jewish people, I've worked with a lot of homosexuals, too. And I work with idiots like Bud. And the only people that I don't work with in abundance are black people. So I would say if there's a conspiracy, it's just among the whites, man. But I wouldn't even say that.
Yeah, you said you had a black guy on a TV show you was on.
What, Teachers?
Yeah.
Dion Richmond, yeah. What is that? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, that's good enough.
Oh, well, okay, man. I ain't even talking about that. I'm just saying. It's one thing to say Jews run things, another thing to say that Jews just happen to be at the top because there ain't nothing else that they learned how to do in the 2,000 years they were told they couldn't do anything else but be merchants and artists and things like that. So that's the end of that. I'm not going to go into a big, long history lesson, not for the benefit of Bud and not for the benefit of Robert. I would for Rick Sanchez, but he ain't here. And I certainly don't want to...
This will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
All right, so 877-876-PHIL is the number. One more story here. The lady that super glued her eyeball... not her eyeballs, but her...
well, she super glued the balls.
No, she didn't. She reached for eye drops and instead used super glue. And fortunately, this has a happy ending, folks, so don't get too, you know, weirded out. She reached for eye drops and instead used super glue, and it happens a lot more often than you might think. Imgard Holm in Phoenix had cataract surgery last year. She mistakenly reached for what she thought was one of her half-dozen eye drop medications, but the burning sensation that followed let her know something was seriously wrong. It was super glue. According to Mrs. Holm, the bottles are identical. She tried washing the adhesive out, but the quick-drying glue did its job and sealed her eye shut. Paramedics and hospital staff had to get it open and wash out her eye before major damage was done. They had to cut off the glue substance, and it was all hard and in the eye, and I couldn't even see. You might think Holmes' mix-up is a rare medical mishap, but that's not so. My Fox Phoenix found many cases of super glue ocular injuries dating all the way back to 1982 in numerous medical journals. The Food and Drug Administration will interview Holmes later this week, and she hopes her case and the others will put pressure on glue makers to change their bottle shapes and sizes. Oh, is this the lady? Oh, this poor gal. So here she is talking about getting her eye super glued.
It was a nightmare and a half. The bottles are identical. You know, I'm not young anymore, but I'm not senile. I just, you know, did this because these are my precious eye drops. They had to cut off the glue substance, whatever, and it was all hard, and it was in the eye, and it was just everywhere. And I couldn't even see. You can go infection, blindness, removal of the eye on something like this. Please help. Please help.
You blew it! Well, anyway, she's fine. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. And when we come back, we'll tell you why an ESPN producer's in hot water. Hot water? I think the guy got canned. Plus, how are the Brits powering their homes with their, with the toilet?
Yeah, but go into the bathroom.
Right. The Phil Henry Show... PhilHenryShow.com.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You blew it!
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Nat,
go ahead.
Now it's Iron Swine, and this is another episode of Iron Swine where they got to go to Hitler's bunker.
Yeah, Iron Swine is called out of Hitler bunker because somebody put super glue in a Hitler eye.
Yeah, the Fuhrer got super glue in his eye. And now here we go.
Yeah, okay, Iron Swine, I'm going to take you down to Hitler bunker.
Oh, yeah? Why for?
The Hitler, he got, what do you call that, super glue in his eyeball.
Oh, here's the secretary for Hitler, Traudel Junga. Hey, did the Fuhrer, what did he get in his eye?
It was a nightmare.
Oh, okay.
And then they got it out.
Yeah, they get it out of Hitler's eye, and then he can kill himself. This has been Iron Swine.
Be with us next time when we do another Iron Swine.
What?
Were you kidding me? Well, that worked perfect, man. What was wrong with that?
Well, what are you talking about? Boy, you had to run a long way to make that work.
Well, if you listen to that lady, sounds like talk about Hitler. Listen to it. Go ahead. You do it the way you dare, Robert.
Yeah. We're now in Hitler's bunker. How are you doing, lady?
It was a nightmare.
Oh, okay.
Is that the lady with the super glue?
Yeah.
All right. Well, very ingenious. All right, thanks, guys. Thank you very much. You going to call him Iron Swine still or Super Swine?
Yeah, I'd call him Super Swine by now, but...
You know, the Iron Swine thing is a little old since swine flu is...
No, man, no way. We don't change it for nothing, man. Iron Swine, where are that?
All right, fine. ESPN producer admits masturbating while watching a neighbor change her clothes.
It was a nightmare.
Yes, Neil Goldberg, who's working in television production with ESPN, his current employer, Pahaha, and Fox, for nearly 30 years, was caught standing on a stool and pleasuring himself while watching a female neighbor change clothes. Police said Goldberg, 52, was arrested on charges of breach of peace, disorderly conduct, public indecency, you know, just weird, being a weird man, and trespass. Police report that the ESPN producer admitted to them. Was he in his own home? Anyway, police report the ESPN producer admitted to them that he was pleasuring himself. Police said a woman walking her dog in the Bradford Walk complex reported seeing a man standing on a stool and pleasuring himself while peering through a neighbor's window. According to Farmington, Connecticut police, when Goldberg saw the woman, he stopped and went back inside his home. So he was standing out on a, whatever the hell he was standing out on or something.
Like a balcony.
Maybe. Goldberg worked extensively on ESPN's NASCAR production and was a key part of many sports Emmy-winning broadcasts, according to SportsGrid.com. Goldberg was released on a $1,000 bond and scheduled to appear in court on October the 13th. I don't know, it's weird, but where was the guy, you know?
Well, I mean, the guy's all out there and everything, doing and anything like that.
Well, they never tell you, man, but it says he went back inside of his house. Was he out on a balcony? Was he on his own premises? Public indecency, I understand that. You can't be, even on your own property, you can't be standing there, you know?
Why can't you, man? If that's your own property, why can't you stand there, have your pants off, everything like that?
Because you're not allowed, that's called public indecency. Even on your own property, you cannot act in a manner that is, quote-unquote, indecent to the public. So, I'll give an example, because we did a bit about this a long time ago.
Look, can I ask you something?
Go ahead.
What if I'm at my house and I want to have, and I took my pants off, but not on account of anything other than then I just don't like wearing pants, okay?
Yeah.
And a Girl Scout comes to the door, and I answer the door with no pants.
You'd be arrested.
That's a police state.
Why?
Because you can't stand there and act in an indecent and lewd manner, and especially with an underage person, okay?
Yeah, but I didn't say they could come on my property or nothing.
There's a law that covers it, believe me. It is a law that there is a reasonable expectation because you have a front door and a doorbell. You understand that you are going to receive visitors. They're going to knock on your door, okay? And
what are you talking about because I got a doorbell?
If you have a door on a street, you've got a doorbell, and you, by all appearances, while it is your property, you also are admitting or you are making the statement that you expect from time to time there will be people visiting or otherwise soliciting some kind of business at your front door. So if someone comes to your door and you answer it with your pants off, that is an indecent and lewd act, and you can be arrested for it.
Man, that's not fair, because that's your property. And your man's home as a cow, you can walk around with no pants on.
You can walk around with no pants on all you want in your house.
What about in my yard? I can't even do that.
If you got a yard that's out on the street, okay, and you know it's out on the street, and you're walking out there scandalizing the neighbor's kids with no pants, yeah, you're breaking the law.
That's bull, man, because of your private property.
Well, you know, I agreed with you at one point, but it, you know, in my life, but I learned the law was, you know, it doesn't see it that way. Now, your backyard, if it's out of the view of people, you can do all you want, you know.
Yeah, like a lady live near us, man. You know,
don't belch on me, Robert, okay?
Sorry.
God, what was that, man?
No, habanero sausage.
Oh. Yeah, you live near a lady.
That lady in the backyard would be nude.
Are you kidding me?
No, man. She sunbathed with no pants. Not with no pants. No panties.
Well, lucky you, dude. But that's the law. Our executive producer is Jason Rantz, our technical director, Charles Wygan, and, of course, our screener and associate producer, Dan Northcraft, and PhilHendryShow.com, baby, for your Phil Hendry needs.